treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
That's Der Bingle giving us his version of White Christmas, definitive version of White Christmas, I will posit, on the record on KUOW Seattle. I'm Steve Scher, and one of the songs that is, for many of us, quintessential Christmas, brought to us by yet another Jewish composer. Amanda Wild is a KUOW producer, host of The Swing Years and Beyond. We've been thinking about this question of the Jews shaping our perceptions of Christmas.
Yes, I think Jews are somewhat fascinated by the holiday, and they really, I would say that Jewish composers created together a very strong concept of what we now think of in America as a classic Christmas. They pretty much wrote the soundtrack for the whole season.
Why so many Jews giving us Christmas songs?
Well, I think, first of all, Jews were a great portion of the Tin Pan Alley songwriters, number one. As such, they were people who didn't grow up. Maybe they were observing others having Christmas, but it wasn't their holiday. So in a sense, they had sort of a clean slate to imagine Christmas from, since they didn't have their own personal attachments to it. But they could see it was happening in the larger culture around them. So that's a good thing to write a song about, is something that most people are doing.
Interesting, too, though, that notion of clean slate, because you're many of them immigrants, right? Many of them coming to America and thinking about how they fit into America, and here's this dominant culture. They're part of it. They're aside from it. They want to get into it.
Every year on the Swing Years, people ask me, are you going to play some Hanukkah songs? It's like, I could fill 5 hours with Christmas songs and still have plenty left over. There just aren't that many Hanukkah songs. Right. They were observing. They were looking at the majority culture. They weren't writing songs about Hanukkah.
So White Christmas by
Irving Berlin,
who's also gave us a lot of America songs, or at least the quintessential America songs.
Yeah, and he's written a few other Christmas songs, but White Christmas was the biggie, and it is the biggie Christmas song. It was a hit every Christmas season for at least 10 years. It rose to number one on the charts every year since 1942, when Bing Crosby first recorded it.
I didn't know that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was written by a Jewish composer.
Johnny Marks, who also wrote Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree and Holly Jolly Christmas. He wrote a couple other Christmas songs besides those. His brother-in-law, Robert May, worked for the Montgomery Ward Company, and you may know that that's where the poem Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was composed. And so Johnny Marks wrote some music for that. And then he absolutely relentlessly pestered Gene Autry, a big recording star of the time, to make a recording of it. Gene Autry was very reluctant to do so, but he finally gave in, and it was his biggest hit ever.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Gene Autry doing Johnny Marks' Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. KUOW producer Amanda Wilds here, host of The Swing Years and Beyond. You know, Gene Autry was glad. I remember reading that Gene Autry was very glad to have recorded this song because it made him a fortune.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, in 1949, and all these songs we're looking at were written in the 40s. But actually, Johnny Marks wrote another song called Run, Rudolph, Run. that Chuck Berry did. You might want to look that one up.
Oh,
lesser known, but still good.
I do want to look that one up. Run, Rudolph, run. But I mean, there was an economic reason these guys were writing these songs.
And
too.
It all started with White Christmas, actually, because when it became obvious that year after year this song was a top seller, the producers of sheet music and recorded music realized, hey, there's a perennial sort of festival of cash going on here.
So what do we make of the fact that these outside composers, it's sort of the quintessential American story, I guess, but what do we make? Did they shape our perception of Christmas?
I think they absolutely did. And I think what they did was they took away from a religious holiday many of the secular traditions. Plus, they lived in America, so they're looking at, you know, this Christmas in New England with the snow and the sleigh bells. And they took all those things and combined them into songs and painted a picture that became the Christmas that everyone now fantasizes about having with their families.
Yeah. We won't get into the Fox News controversy about Santa's race, but that's the problem with that argument, isn't it? Because who's creating Christmas? Christmas is recreated every
exactly.
decade as new people are getting into the marketplace and trying to make some money off of the culture.
Yeah, I think with the invention of, you know, shopping for Christmas presents and the commercialism of it, these songs also became, again, a soundtrack for that sort of thing. And I agree that Christmas has been reinvented so many times through the centuries. And through these songs, now these Jewish composers have shaped our current visualization of the perfect American Christmas.
By the way, how many involved? You have a list of songs.
This is just a partial list of Christmas songs written by Jewish composers. Winter Wonderland, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, written by the famous songwriting team Sammy Kahn and Julie Stein. White Christmas, which we heard, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and the other songs by Johnny Marks, Holly Jolly Christmas being one of them. Also, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year, Silver Bells, I'll Be Home for Christmas, Santa Baby, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, There's No Place Like Home for the Holidays. That's just a few.
All right, now I want to see who's going to be writing the next great Christmas songs and what culture are they going to be coming out of. That'll be interesting. Let's go out with Mel Torme's song. Mel Torme wrote a great Christmas song.
This is another song from the 40s. I myself didn't know Mel Torme was Jewish till I was looking into this a few years ago. He wrote this song in 1945 with Robert Wells. And Robert Wells had written just a few things on a piece of paper that were about snow and cooling off because it was the heat of summer. And he was merely trying to cool off, so he sketched some words down. Mel Torme saw them and wrote a song around those few words. And that was in 1945. Nat King Cole Trio first recorded the song in 1946. It was called Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. We know it better as the Christmas song.
All right, Amanda. Merry Christmas.
Happy
Stuff.
Holidays.
Or L'chaim.
You know, I noticed that every year at KUOW we have what is called the holiday party, but you and I and a couple other Jewish colleagues used to sit in the same corner in the newsroom. That's where our desks were. And one day we were talking about going to that party, and I noticed all four of us referred to it as the Christmas party, but we were the only people who did. So, okay, Merry Christmas.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa